Hello, everybody. Heads up on this episode. This is truly the after party where we discuss everything that happened in these primaries. Squeakers. In fact, I don't think that we have the full picture even after all this. That being said, I brought a friend, Jen Briney from the Congressional Dish. Here's the issue. We came from recording the Great Night Comedy Podcast, and then we had the after party for the Great Night Comedy Podcast. So we're both a little tipsy, which means the language is a little salty. So if you're listening with your kids, please stop this podcast right now. If you are ready for a absolutely uncensored, rip-roaring run through these primary results, well, welcome.
The following is brought to you by Will Harris, Dustin Campbell, Daily Tech News Show, Andy Beach, Nick Wood, and Craig.
Hello and welcome, everybody, to the Politics, Politics, Politics podcast, the primary recap for May 18th, 2022. Now, you might just be expecting me to talk to you, but I have brought a special guest. Ladies and gentlemen, Jen Briney from the Congressional Dish. How you doing?
Aloha. I'm fantastic.
Full disclosure, we have done the Great Night podcast. We have done the Great Night after show, and now we are going to run down the primary results as we find them out for the first time.
For the first time, and we're totally sober, by the way.
Because
we're fine.
That is how we are going to do it. So yeah. Here we go.
By the way, this is what sarcasm sounds like. Because we've had a legitimately great night. Great night. So let's find out.
What do you know about the Pennsylvania primary?
So I know that that douchebag doctor was a part of it. And then there's a lady who is pretending to be Trump that apparently people are digging. And then there's another person.
But David
McCormick. There's like Dr. Oz, yep. Lady Trump, and another dude.
Yep.
That's
Kathy Barnett. And then David McCormick. Or Dave McCormick. He doesn't go by David. I actually tried to Google him a few times.
What's his story?
He is you're going to love him. You're going to love him. He is the exact Jen Briney archetype. So he is an investment banker.
Oh, that was definitely an insult then.
Whose wife worked in the Trump administration.
Ew.
And so the whole thing about
as what?
National Security Advisor, I believe.
Oh,
so
they're all kind of Trumpy in a way.
Oh, no. So McCormick and Oz were the two
black
people
lady is Trump.
No,
Oz got Trump's endorsement and homeboy has a wife in the Trump administration.
Yes. Okay. Except for the fact that Kathy Barnett really was not even in this election until like the last 2 weeks.
Well, yeah, like I didn't hear her name until 5 seconds ago. So what's her story?
She is an author, somebody who lost a congressional seat by 20 points. And effectively, she is a good talker. She's a very compelling talker. And she's got a very compelling backstory in that, especially considering all this Roe versus Wade conversation. She is the product of a mother who was raped when she was 11. And so,
11.
Yeah. And so she is very, you know, pro-life without exceptions, mostly because she's the product of one of those things that would have been eliminated with any of those exceptions. So,
well, yeah. Like,
it is hard to yell at her specifically about that because she has a compelling case.
Well, it's one of those issues. It's not black and white.
Indeed. So let's start on the Democratic side. John Fetterman for the Democrats blows out Connor Lamb 56 to 25.
And is Lamb our incumbent?
No. Lamb, actually, I don't know if you remember this, but
I know that name. Why do I know his name?
Because right after Trump got elected, remember right after Trump got elected and everybody was looking at all these like very weird special elections in like 2017 or 2016 even?
Like they meant the biggest things.
Exactly.
In the world.
It's like, will the world reject Trump after he got elected? So Connor Lamb.
Will they reject Trump by electing people that are not Trump at all and not related to him in any way?
Yeah. So Connor Lamb won one of those races. He was a Democrat in a Trump plus something.
So he
impressive.
Was like one of those like buzzy.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
No, like all the like Pod Save America people were like jizzing their pantsuits about like him. Like they loved him. And so he runs up against this dude, John Fetterman, who I think you would actually really love if you actually looked into John Fetterman.
I mean, this is kind of a spanking. So what's Fetterman's deal? Why did he
Lieutenant Governor of spank?
Because let's just qualify. Lamb got 25.7%. And right now, which... We're at
97%. So it's like it's a wrap on a wrap on a wrap.
Yeah. So we've got about a quarter of the votes going to Connor Lamb and 57% going for Fetterman, which is a fucking spanking.
Sure. Yeah. Oh, by the way, this is an uncensored podcast. So I'm sorry for if you're listening with your kids, but we're going to curse. That's fine. Okay. That's fine.
Sorry.
So John Fetterman, a massive human who dresses and looks the way that a Lucy menthol smells.
Oh, is he the one you said looks like he like is a union?
Yeah. That
okay.
dude.
Okay.
Here's the problem. When I went up and was covering, I went to go see a John Fetterman event and he no-showed and they said he was sick. What they didn't say because the campaign had not announced it was that he had a stroke. In fact, tonight, he got a pacemaker put in.
So he did this with a stroke.
Now, that will be a larger factor in the general election because maybe. A candidate who has a stroke is somebody that is like one stroke away from being unelectable.
Yeah, maybe.
Because you can't have two strokes.
But this stroke happened 2 days before the election. I mean, it's enough time to hear about it. Yes, it's enough time to hear about it. But my question about Fetterman is he looks union. Is he?
From everything that I know, he seems like all the leftists really love him. All the leftists, yeah, they're really into him. All right, so okay. Fetterman is in.
Which is like the least interesting. Like, okay, so we're Fetterman versus the shit show.
And here's where the interesting part is. So Kathy Barnett.
Oh my God, it's so close.
Kathy Barnett is at 24.5%. Turns out, don't believe the hype. David McCormick and Mehmet Oz.
Oh my God.
30.9% tied with 99% of the vote in.
But we're talking a difference of less than 300.
No, it's a.
Yeah, it's less than 300. McCormick.
McCormick has 392,563 votes while we record. Oz has 393,299 votes. So it is
Jennifer Brennan can't
1,000.
Do simple math
less than
to save her fucking life
for Oz. Look for a man who is used to
Oz
doing surgery on hearts. That is a surgical. A surgical cut.
So
for the Oster.
Oz is up, but
by less than 1,000. Although
final.
Although I do think I think there was a mandatory recount.
It's a mandatory runoff, I think, in Pennsylvania.
I don't know if it's a runoff.
It
is a recount. So they're gonna recount the votes that are cast.
Yes. There's a big difference. It's fascinating how close that shit is 30.9 to 30.9.
Yeah, that is a close election. Now, it mirrors the fact that both Oz and McCormick spent a ton of money. Between the two of them, they spent over $100,000 on advertising alone.
Can you explain to me Kathy Barnett? Because people are really excited about her for reasons that I don't care about, but they were very excited about her, and that is a significant 24.5%. That's a significant cut. That's third party type shit. What happened here? Who's the libertarian?
Both Oz and McCormick. So this is the GOP primary, right? So it's both Oz and McCormick have very high negatives. Kathy Barnett.
One being Dr. fucking Oz. That's obvious.
Well, the problem is that, like, the thing is that if Oz makes it and he's going up against Fetterman, who just had a stroke, I think it is a hands down, like, Oz victory, especially in a Republican winning year, which normally the midterms after a Democratic president gets in means the Republicans do well.
Okay, so we need to take a step back.
Go ahead.
Because there's Democrat versus Republican politics, and then there's also the Hollywood factor. Dr. Oz has something that I think Trump has tapped into in his endorsement, because I don't think Trump cares about politics as much as he cares about winning. And Dr. Oz is a celeb.
Yeah.
And as far as celebs go, it's Dr. Oz and Sarah Palin, but Palin's like in the house, like who fucking cares? But like, this is a senator who's a celeb. Like, you can go Democrat, Republican to a certain point, but with Dr. Oz, that's a celeb situation, which really throws all of the calculations of this into a different realm.
Well, I mean, like, really what matters is that Oz has what they call in politics name recognition. So if we understand that nobody who walks into a voting booth in general knows who's going to be on the ballot. Nerds like us do, but most people don't.
Yeah.
So if you are motivated to go, then obviously the people who are motivated are going to vote for you. But in general, people are going to vote for names they recognize, because that's, you know, it's how you buy ketchup, right? You don't buy the no name brand ketchup. You buy Heinz or whatever. Like, that's just how everything works. The difference is that in the Republican primary, Oz, who has spent a decade on television, has also talked about,
on like Oprah television, like midday housewife television.
He's
like,
talked
they
about
love
pro-choice
him.
Stuff. He's talked about trans kids. He's talked
he
about.
He seems middle of the ground. He's, like, he's, he seems reasonable, he's because danced, his opinions are not written by him.
He's danced with Michelle Obama, right? So it's
yes,
like,
he gets writers that give him shit, and people go like, that's who he is. But like, no, Hollywood. What I'm saying is, like, whatever the fuck you think Dr. Oz is, if you're a middle of the day TV watcher, there are manipulations that you're not quite aware of that are called writers.
I mean, but that's in politics too. It ain't like there's like there's just not that in politics. Of course there's that in politics.
Of course that is on politics, but within politics, if you're into politics, you're watching CNN, you're watching MSNBC, you're watching Fox, right?
Which have no writers.
Of course they have writers. But Dr. Oz is one of those people that is in the realm of people that don't give a fuck about politics. He's in the Oprah, Drew Barrymore, fucking Ellen. Like, he's in the midday. We don't give a shit about politics. Like, he's our doctor.
He's the dude.
Yeah. Like, he's in a celebrity.
Which is why he would crush in the general. His problem was getting out of the primary. And right now he is barely up in that primary. We're going to move on, though, real quick. So Doug Mastriano.
Sorry. I have
one last,
I can't
one last
move
Oz.
On.
One last Oz. Point?
No, I actually need to understand the process, because like Dr. Oz and other dude are essentially tied. Is this one of those situations where they go to a runoff of two people? Like, can you explain the process? Like, right. What happens from here
in Pennsylvania?
Yes.
I believe that is close enough that it will go to a mandatory recount. So that means that they will recount the votes, but with a buffer of 1,000 votes, it would take a lot for McCormick to make it up. So I would say right now, the way I would look at it is that Dr. Oz would be the winner.
For the Repubs.
For the Republicans.
So it would be Dr. Oz versus Fetterman.
Yeah.
Which, for you and I.
Yeah.
Content-wise.
Oh, good God.
Oh my God. Oh, Dr.
The guy
Hollywood.
The guy who's one stroke away and versus the quack doctor. Love
it. But isn't it kind of fascinating to watch the Hollywood dude have to declare which side of politics he's on and exactly who's he's aligned with? Like, they all have to walk this line, right? And then Dr. Oz, like, decides to get into politics and is like, well, I have to admit that I'm a Republican. Well, now I have to admit that I'm a Trump Republican. Well, like, you kind of have to admit who you are in a way where if you're in Hollywood, you can kind of just bullshit that you're with everyone.
Squeeze.
Yeah, yep. Dr. Oz is no longer allowed to pretend that he's not a Trumpy dude. Like, you're
which is why his show's off the air.
Trumpy dude.
Like, he's done with the show. He let go of his decade-long show to do this.
When it comes to me, I never followed the dude. But there's a lot of people that do midday TV.
You can say women.
Okay. Majority women.
Yes.
Correct. But I also know enough Mr. Moms that like stay home.
Oh, trust me.
Mr. Yes. Moms and guys that just like don't do a lot, like that just know about midday.
But are they watching?
And take sick days. Okay, I'll admit it. Sometimes I'm going to take a sick day from my own company and I'm going to watch whatever the fuck is on at 2 p.m. during the day. And I don't know what it is, but that is where Dr. Oz lives. It's the 2 to 4 p.m. I don't know what the fuck.
How many Dr. Oz episodes have you watched?
One?
Like, do you remember what was on? Do you remember what the topic was?
I remember that he had a line of teens and he was asking teens what they think about a thing. And I was like, I don't give a fuck about what teens think about a thing. And I switched over to USA, which is almost always a
Psych.
Law and Order Special Victims Unit.
There we go.
I was like, yes, I will watch seven of these.
That girl was over raped.
A Dr. Oz. However,
Richard Belzer.
However,
I don't know. Was she raped? Yeah, dog. That girl was raped and then punched in the face with a cocaine bat.
And honestly, Ice-T is the best detective. Like, if I roll up and I just got in trouble and I look up and there's Ice-T, I'm like, I'm in good hands. Like, he's the best.
No, if you look up at Ice-T, you're dead. Like, he doesn't look at you unless you're done.
No, because if Ice-T is there, you're a special victim and you are fucking alive.
Oh, you're right.
If you're dead, right. You don't get Ice-T. Apparently, you get fucking Stabler now because he's in a different fucking druggy division. We are getting way off topic.
Way off topic.
My point is, when it comes to watching Dr. fucking Oz, it's a midday TV situation.
Yes.
I think it is a boomer.
Who does that benefit?
Plus situation.
Electorally, who does that benefit?
Well, that's what's frustrating, right? Because the people that are voting and who have taken voting as a, this is my sacred right, it's boomers plus. And like, so Dr. Oz actually has an advantage because my stupid fucking generation, hi millennials, nice to meet you. I was born in 1982 and we have not realized our power in our numbers that we can outnumber these fucking boomers. And they are the ones who are voting, and therefore Dr. Oz has a really good chance of getting in. So it's all a numbers game. Until my generation decides to step the fuck up and actually vote, we are going to be outvoted by the olds who watch midday TV and think Dr. Oz is a really cool dude because Oprah decided to endorse his book. And like, most of us don't care about this. But most of us who are chill, don't vote.
All right. So there we go. Dr. Oz, I believe.
I think he's got it.
I think he will get it, and I think he will win the Senate. For governor in Pennsylvania, Josh Shapiro obviously is going to win for the Democrats, and Doug Mastriano, who, by the way, let me admit now for the first time on the podcast, not only responded to me yesterday on Twitter, but slipped into my DMs, is now the GOP nominee for the Pennsylvania governor race.
Am I the only one who wants to rewind to the slipped into your DMs?
So I tweeted yesterday that my first half of this podcast, which was me on the road in Pennsylvania, was up for all my free for the free listeners. The Patreon people got it on Sunday. And I said that there was sound from the event that he barred all the press from. So remember on Great Night, and I was talking about the event where the tri-corner hat guy was barring everybody from getting in?
Yes.
So that was his event. And so he responded, because I tagged him, because I'm a clout hunter. he responds to me directly, and it was very, very quickly afterward. He was like, by the way, the entire video and sound is up on my website. And I responded to him and said, that's good. I like to fly to these events so I can record the candidate and the crowd specifically, so I can see the vibe and I can report that back to my listeners. He didn't respond publicly, but he did slip into my DMs and he said, thank you for coming to my event. I just want to let you know that the full thing is on my Facebook, not my website, like he said. And I said, well, if it ever comes up again, which I guess it has now, so everybody can know that that Doug Mastriano event in totality is up on his Facebook. I said, thank you for letting me into the event. And then I wished him good luck, because I feel like that's just what you should do all candidates. Right. And he said, thank you. And so there we go. That was the entire DM conversation I had with the now officially Republican nominee for governor in Pennsylvania.
Okay.
There's not much that we need to go past that. I think that is, because I don't think that there's much that we need to know.
But Justin, is that not the situation where you, I mean, feel free to edit this out, but you rolled up to his campaign event and they didn't let anyone in but you? Is that the same dude?
Yeah.
Okay.
But because podcasts aren't real media.
We cannot fucking breeze over this on P times three.
We've already talked about it on the first half of this podcast, but please give me your thoughts.
So it
has not been unaddressed, is all I'm saying.
Okay, so you've already talked about it to your audience.
Yeah.
So this is what I want to ask you. When it comes to podcasting,
yes,
it's incredibly insulting to be told that you are not the media.
Yeah.
And yet, we are still so fucking under the radar that in person, we can get in. Like, I feel like hearing your story and being on the same level of professional podcaster, I feel like I am the media. Like, fuck all y'all. Like, I'm one of you. I feel like you just pulled off a fucking coup for podcasters. Like, do you not understand how cool that is?
I very much appreciated the fact that I was able to do a thing that CBS and Fox were not able to do. That being said,
but that's
that being
gonna
said,
run the fuck out. So do you not feel like you no, on the no, ground no, no, floor no, no, something
no,
amazing?
No, 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 no. Here's the reality. What I have that you don't have is a background in newspaper journalism, which is an ego depleting field, because all you have at the end when you produce your final product is a name that nobody reads at the top of an article that increasingly nobody
reads.
We
all quote the LA Times, not the
exactly.
Dude.
Right. Yeah. So like when you're on television, if you're Robert Costa from CBS, who was there getting rejected, his face gets on the television when he's done with his product. That is something that he can send to his mom and his mom can send to her friends and say, look at me. Like the boys on television.
But what's the difference? Because the difference your podcast is, and your fucking whoa, face on, got hold in hold and no let one
let
else
go
did.
Back, let me go. Let me go back. Let me go back. My entire journey here was in newspaper journalism, which is just calling people, having them tell you, I don't want to talk to you and you're a parasite, you're awful, every day, every day. Yeah. So the fact that somebody said podcasting isn't real media while they're trying to do me a favor is like that skin that might have been poked is so callous to me that like, even now that I'm outside of a world where people are hanging up on me and telling me I'm awful, like that is worn so thick that it was just a funny thing to me.
But don't you see it as kind of like an incredible loophole that you got to weasel your slimy way into?
Yep.
That's what I'm excited about, where it's like, oh, CNN couldn't get in, but your ass could. And they have no idea the numbers. I've seen
and by the
Twitter
way,
following.
The man.
You have 40,000 people following your ass on Twitter. Like, that is not insignificant.
The man who banned every media person in my DMs thanked me for coming to his event.
He was a cute little pirate-looking thing.
Like, no, not tri-corner guy.
Oh, but not like, that guy.
No.
He was so cute.
No, the actual candidate who made the call to ban everybody thanked me for coming to his event in my DMs. Anyway, North Carolina Senate primary results. Trump's pick, Bud, wins. And on the Democratic side, Beasley wins. Those are easy.
Justin, why are we reporting all of this as who Trump does or does not like? Are we giving him more power than we want him to have by reporting it in this way?
No, I mean, I think like, all right. So that is a good question, because I think the reason why you track it is because you want to know whether or not he has power in his electoral and endorsement capacity.
But doesn't he lose power if we ignore him?
We're not going to, I mean, like this is what I cover. So it's like, I need to
I'm
track.
I'm not judging you. I'm asking legit question.
Legitimately, like it matters to me if somebody says you're the guy, do they win?
Because I know my politics as the same way I see as betting on football in every week that football is like any time I go to Vegas and football is happening.
When you bet on football, you want to win, right?
Bigger picture.
Yes.
We are all judging these candidates based on what Trump fucking says about them. Are we not giving him more power than he should have?
I'm not judging them on whether or not, like, because I don't judge. I pick. Like, it's everybody else's job to judge. It's the voter's job to judge. It's my job to pick. Do I think that his endorsement carries weight? I do. And so I'm going to factor that into my picks. I'm going to factor that into my analysis.
But what if we didn't? What if we pretended that his stupid ass didn't exist?
Then we would be denying the fact that there's a president
He was the president of the United States. That dumbass.
All right.
Was the president.
I'll give you a Trump loss, though. Janice McGeachin. This is somebody that you should actually do some reading on. I literally almost flew to Idaho because I really wanted to see this primary.
Can you tell me the name again?
Janice McGeachin is her name. She is the lieutenant governor of Idaho.
She looks like she got her ass whooped.
She got whooped by Brad Little. Now, Brad Little is the governor of Idaho, and he just won the Republican primary, which means he won the governorship of Idaho again. This is an interesting race, not only because Trump endorsed Janice McGeachin, but because during the pandemic, Janice McGeachin, who was the lieutenant governor of Idaho, whenever Brad Little left the state, Janet McGeachin, who, because of the constitution of that state, meant that she was the chief executive, would reverse Brad Little's laws on COVID. So he had to physically come back to the state to reimpose his COVID mitigation laws. This has broken.
I fucking can't.
But I'm so glad you're so entertained by this stuff because it makes me so mad. And your joy.
No, I mean, look.
Makes me.
Brad Little won. And he won by a pretty, pretty hefty margin.
But it sounds to me like he's an asshole. Like,
Brad, I don't know. He's an Idaho Republican. What do you know about Idaho Republicans?
I know nothing about Idaho.
What do you know about people from Idaho?
I've been to Idaho, and honestly, they were lovely, but I've only met the waitresses. They were great. Like, I just went to a goddamn Chili's.
Was it a good Chili's?
This is the thing about Justin. I love being friends with you. I love being friends with you. I really do. But your obsession on the candidates and the races, and it's so important. It's so important. But we are just in such different wheelhouses because I think so many of these people are assholes and they're winning on the basis of being.
These are primaries for the record.
Yeah, but you know what? You know what? The primaries matter in some ways more than general because we narrow it down to D versus R and like,
yeah.
And then you get these top two where you get the top two of fucking idiots. And then in November, most people show up and they're like, well, I got the top two idiots. Which idiot am I going to pick? Like, honestly, if you want to have a good person, now is when it matters. And now is when no one gives a shit. So it's really fucking tough. And I think you covering the races is so important, and yet you're covering the races between such assholes, and I don't know what to do with the fact that like you're covering so many races where, for me, reading the bills and the laws and knowing the effects of what they do and how much it matters.
When they get there and then they actually cast the votes.
Yeah, the job that we are hiring these people for is so fucking serious. It depends on like my physical health. Like, can I as a fucking adult human woman have an abortion when this thing cannot possibly exist outside of me? You can't see it. It doesn't have any pain. It's sure. Not a person.
Yeah.
Like, this is being governed right now by people that I don't fucking respect. And then you show me these different races between people that I don't fucking respect. And I am the one that's reading the bills that become laws where it's like, this is serious shit. So it's like, I love your joyous attitude about politics because I think that's the only way for us to do this and not want to kill ourselves. Like, I really, I love it. I love your joy. I love, like, I don't want to take that away from you. And one of my fears of doing a show with you is that I'm going to take that away from you. I'm going to make it too serious for you. Trust me.
Don't worry.
Yeah, I think you're cynical as fuck.
Don't worry.
Like, I think we're going to be okay.
I think we're all right.
A month with you, I'm like, okay, I'm not gonna, yeah, it's fine.
You're not gonna destroy anything.
I am gonna have these moments of like, this is serious. So to have a Senate seat dependent on Dr. Oz and some other.
All right, hold on. I'm gonna bring it back to something that we did talk about for anybody who hasn't listened. By the way, despite the fact that Andrew Heaton doesn't want to promote it right now, there is a brand new episode.
By the way, all three of we're all promoting it.
We're all promoting
ways.
It. Whatever. Yeah. So we're not
it's
wrong.
The worst
we're
kept
not
secret
wrong.
Ever.
We're Not Wrong is a new podcast starring myself, Jen Briney, who is normally not like, you know, a handle of Tito's in.
No, I honestly don't think I'm saying anything I wouldn't.
You're not. I'm just saying that like we are normally fresher than I am fresher. Heaton is always, I don't know, out of a cartoon because he's a ridiculous person.
He's a good person.
But in the first episode of that show, we're not. No, we're scumbags.
We're not.
We're scumbags.
If you're going to hear anyone on our new podcast talk shit on each other and ball bust, it's going to be me and Justin.
Me and Jen.
And it's going to come from straight love, but yes. I'm going to bust your balls into a
Facts.
Tiny little
Facts.
Pulp that I will
Atomize.
Squeeze
my
into
balls,
my mimosas
balls, yeah.
on Sundays. Like, it will be, we are going to ball bust. But then there's going to be Andrew who will be like, Bro, hey, guys.
I don't know. Well, like, I don't know. I mean, I believe that Margaret Thatcher would say that. Yeah. Anyway.
We're nice people. And Justin and I would be like, are we?
In that episode, which you can listen to right now if you search for We're Not Wrong on the podcatcher of your choice.
Yeah. Good luck.
You had I would say, animalistic reaction to one Madison Cawthorn.
Did not know he was in a wheelchair. Did not know.
Because thing, you were impressed by his humping.
Okay.
Not knowing that he was in a wheelchair. Here's the thing.
Okay. I need to defend my professional relationship to Congress. I am paying attention.
That is an amazing preface. That is an amazing preface to any sentence. I need to defend my relationship to Congress.
I do. Because you presented some Madison Cawthorn shit to me that I didn't know, mainly that he was in a wheelchair. And my thing is that, like,
Eat your mic.
Eat my mic.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's my thing about Congress is that I am paying attention to the people that are actually creating legislation,
yes,
bills, laws, yes, all that stuff. Madison Cawthorn is not one of them. He's not in the fucking room. No one takes him seriously. So he's not in the rooms I'm paying attention to. He's not in the Rules Committee, which is one of the committees that, like, you don't know exists. That is literally the most important thing in Congress that you've never fucking heard of. I pay very close attention to them, and I'm pretty sure Madison Cawthorn
has never sniffed it.
Has never been in the room. I pay attention to the bills that have become law. So I pay attention to who wrote them. I watch the markup hearings where they do the amendments. I will watch the hearings where they debate them, and I will watch the floor debates where they talk about those. The funny people that we talk about, the Marjorie Taylor Greens and the Madison Cawthorns, yep, and the Lauren Boberts, they are not in these conversations. They are entertainment.
Can I ask you, hold on, give me a second.
I'm not done. Because the media fucking loves these people. They are low-hanging fruit. And so they will cover these people even though they are completely insignificant. So when I'm hanging out with Justin, he talks about Madison Cawthorn. He pays attention to politics and the Carolinas. I don't even know which fucking one. The Carolinas politics.
The North one.
Entertaining is all shit. So he asks me about Madison Cawthorn, and honestly, I don't give a fuck because he's in his mid-20s and no one gives a shit about him.
Stop that. You'd seen the video when I brought it up. Don't act like I showed you the video.
The only video I saw was of a congressman who was completely, like, blurred out, like, banging a friend's face. And I went, ha ha. But that is not a guy that is, like, doing anything with legislation. Sure. Is it entertaining? Yes. Do I want him to lose his primary all day?
That is a huge preamble to say that you thought he was hot as hell. And you were shocked that a man that athletic could hump
nothing
like that.
About my opinion of Madison Cawthorn being gorgeous has changed. Nothing. Well, that is a beautiful man, wheelchair or not. Let's go.
Here is what has changed.
But I Madison don't want him Cawthorn making my laws.
Here is what has changed. Madison Cawthorn being in Congress, because as of right now, it is a wrap. Chuck Edwards has beaten Madison Cawthorn, and he has done it above the threshold of a runoff. Above 30% is what it is in North Carolina. That is a wrap.
We have a plus 95%.
No, it's a wrap.
They're calling it.
Yeah, it's a wrap. It's a wrap. Chuck Edwards, 33.4%. Madison Cawthorn, 31.9%.
I love it when an incumbent in a shitty Congress loses. That's the best.
By the way, do you want to know why he won? Or why Chuck Edwards won and Madison Cawthorn?
Do we like Chuck Edwards?
No, I mean, by the way, he'll probably be worse than Madison Cawthorn was. But, like, the reason why is because You know how there was all the redistricting craziness because of COVID? Because the census was late, which meant that all the redistricting.
It wasn't just COVID. We had a redistricting during COVID, which this redistricting is going to be the most fucked up of our lifetime.
It still is.
The most unreported story.
So here's all I'm saying is that, like, in North Carolina, there was a proposed map that then got revised. But in the initial proposed map, Madison Cawthorn said he was going to switch districts and run in another district. Then that map got revised, and so he had to run back in the same district that he had just said that he would that he had left. And that apparently, along with all the, you know, Madison Cawthorn of it all, the naked humping, the drag, the driving with a suspended license, the getting on a plane with a loaded gun, all that wound up sinking him. Also the orgies that he did not attend and the key bumps that he did not sniff. R.I.P. Madison Cawthorn's current run as the representative
you handicapped
of NC-11.
Fuck Barty.
And I feel like that's the point where we need to wrap this up. Goodbye, you handicapped fuck Barty, is the moment where we are going to wrap it up. Guys, thank you so much for joining us. Hopefully
we're
going to
have so much fun
this
without
is the after
you.
Party. This is the after party for the primaries for tonight. Hopefully, man, do you realize that people are going to be waking up for work and this is the first thing they're going to listen to on the way to work?
You're welcome.
Thank you so much. Love you guys.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.
Dog and Pony Show Audio.